You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hey, and welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm really excited to have you joining me today and my extra special guest. Client experience is crucial to your salon success. Well, obviously, because I talk about it a lot, and it involves a variety of moving parts. So today I'm talking about integrating the tech tools in creating a seamless client experience, but also ensuring the process of providing amazing service is also enjoyable for your team. So to talk more about the concept of seamless client experience all around, today I'm chatting with my good friend Ryan, who is the CEO and founder of Timely Salon and Spa Software. He and the team at Timely are doing amazing things to bring smart technology to salons to help create forward-thinking experiences. And I'm excited to bring his insights of all things, not just tech. We also talk about what's keeping you up at night, the future of the front counter experience, and some different perspectives on business success. So let's jump right in. I want you to meet Ryan. Hey, Ryan. Thanks for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Really pleased to have you here.
Russ, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I've been looking forward to this and getting to catch up with you. So let's start with the basics. Why don't you tell us where you are in the world and what do you do?
Sure thing. So I live in New Zealand, down south in Dunedin. I am the CEO and co-founder at Timely Salon Software. When I'm not working on salon software and my team doing that, I have four kids who keep me pretty occupied, four sons, and my wife and I work in the business together as well. So Kirsten and I recently celebrated our 20-year wedding anniversary. Working in the business together since we started as well. So between Timely and the fam, the plate's pretty full.
Absolutely. Now, you and I go back several years. I spent two awesome, amazing years working with you at Timely Salon Software, and I'm very grateful to you for having me for that time. I learned so much. But why don't you tell us a little bit about your salon and spa software?
Sure. You've always been my favorite, Russ.
Thanks. Okay, later.
Yeah. I mean, likewise, we were very lucky to have you on the team for that time. We were just getting started, and you know, having somebody on the crew who really understood the industry was amazing. I think we wrote you a job description, but I'm not sure how much we paid attention to it because you helped in pretty much every area during that time, which was great. We're actually 6 years old now. We're growing up.
Wow.
Which is fun. I'll start at the end maybe of the book and then work our way backwards. So Timely today is 80 people. So we have 80 on the team today, and they are based in New Zealand, Australia, and in the UK. We have just over 10,000 customers using the product. Our focus is very much on the beauty industry, but we do have companies in other areas that use it as well. I guess the thing I'm most proud of with Timely is the sentiment towards the software and the service we provide by our customers. We have a measure that we focus on a lot that you'll remember, which is our Net Promoter Score. If you often receive an email from a company that asks, how likely would you be to recommend this product or the service to a friend, that's them measuring their Net Promoter Score. And we've done that for years. We score really highly. It's about plus 65, which is right at the very top in terms of how happy your customers are with your product or your service. So it's really heartwarming to come to work every day. And of course, we have challenges and things we need to make better, but we just get so much positive feedback from those 10,000 customers. And they're really the way we've grown. It's been very much word of mouth and quite organic in terms of them telling their friends and colleagues and people in the industry about what we do. So it's been fast growth going from, it doesn't seem like that long ago, it was just an idea that we had, and 6 years to go from standing still to 10,000 customers and 80 staff has been quite a ride.
I think it's a pretty amazing feat. I mean, I remember when I was with you when we clocked over 1,000 customers. That was a pretty big celebration, and it feels so tiny now.
Yeah, and we made T-shirts.
Yeah, that's right. I still have mine. I want to just touch on that Net Promoter Score, or the focus, I guess, or the values based around that drives Timely to do that, because it really was the thing that made me reach out to you. Having worked with and in software in the past, in my own journey, when I started to notice you on socials, it was that really stood out to me. It was your whole presence and tone around listening to customers and building for them that really drew me to your company. And that's why I reached out to you and said, I need to work for you. I want to come and be part of your team. So I think, you know, it's a really great driver that you have.
Yeah, we have four values at Timely, and our first value has always been that customers are our sun. And we've always been a very customer-obsessed business, and really that's necessary these days. I'm old enough to remember when you sold software to a business and it was a one-off purchase. So it may have been a demo or a website or a brochure. Through the sales process to decide whether or not you were going to use the product. But once you bought it, and you were using it. Excuse me. And really the cloud, a lot of people talk about the cloud and data and where it's stored and all those sorts of things, but even as a nerd myself, none of that really matters. What matters is the subscription model that came with cloud computing. So businesses like ours now, we have a subscription model where our customers pay us a small monthly amount rather than a one-off big purchase at the start. What that really means is we have to make sure that we are continually providing service and earning that business. We don't just earn it once. We earn the business every month. And if we're not doing that, they will switch to another provider. You know, we have hundreds of competitors in the space. So there's really no hiding these days for a company like ours, and I think that's a great thing. Like, there's no faking it. You have to genuinely provide really great service and a really great product to your customer. And the only way you really do that is to be very customer-obsessed and to listen and really pay attention to what your customers need. So that's why that's one of our values. And I think it's one of the reasons as well why, you know, when we started out, a lot of people know that we started off by offering Timely to a lot of different industries and then ended up focusing it in on the beauty industry. Yeah. I think one of the reasons for that is the, you know, salon and beauty industry is very client-focused as well. So it becomes a shared value. You know, salon owners wake up most days thinking, how can I make the experience for my clients better so that they come in more, so that they stay with me for longer, and so that I can attract more clients into my salon. So it then becomes a shared value between Timely and our customers to, you know, to be very customer focused.
How great. I actually really like that perspective, to have a shared value between the business and the customer. And I think that's something that salon owners can certainly, that approach can certainly adopt as well. I think sometimes as an owner, we can get so stuck inside of our own business, trying to solve all the problems, put out all the fires, that sometimes we forget to actually think about the customer and their perspective or their values or what drives them to come to the business in the first place. So I think that's a really great way of looking at it.
Now, it's a bit of a luxury really for, you know, for us as people who start businesses. It's always one of the things I've felt really privileged to do, is you have a bit of a blank canvas when you start the company, right? And you get to decide what those values will be and what you care about and, you know, what the culture is going to look like. And it's certainly something that we think is a big part of why we've grown quickly from 0 to 10,000, because a lot of our values are shared. You know, the other three values that we have are shared pretty strongly within industry as well.
So you are bringing us to some industry perspective that I've asked you to bring. And I thought this is a really great opportunity to see our industry from the outside, you know, from somebody who's come into the industry not really knowing a lot about it. And now, you know, you're 10,000 deep, you're well into the industry. And I think you've got some interesting perspectives to share with us. And like you said, you know, salon owners wake up thinking about delivering an awesome customer experience, but in fact, they go to bed worrying about their team. It's what keeps them up at night.
Yes.
What has been your experience now talking with salon owners and being around and providing a service for them? What are the challenges that we're faced around our team? Why is it so hard?
Yeah, I think it's a big challenge that I hear about a lot today in the industry. I think it has been for a few years and may continue to be as well, but something that we can all work on together is attracting really great people to work in the industry and stay working in the industry for a long period of time. You know, it's hard to draw a straight line between that and what we do at Timely, but you know, I think the tools that the crew use every day are really important. And if they have a bad feeling about the system that they have to use and they don't feel good using it, I think that certainly contributes. I think one of the really interesting things is how the bar has raised for customer experience in general, and that includes us as users of technology. It's not just, you know, the salon's clients and what they expect, but it's what we expect as well as business owners and as staff working in the business.
Mm.
I think it's easy to think about what other people in the beauty industry are doing and kind of set the bar there. But I think we should look out broader than that. If we think about things like Uber and what they've done for catching a ride when you need to get from A to B, and how that has changed what your expectation of that experience should look like compared to before they existed. You know, it's so simple. It's so seamless. It's so easy to use. It's so affordable. That does impact on us and what we do in the salon industry, because everybody, our clients, our staff, ourselves as business owners, that's where our bar is now set for catching a ride. It should be that simple. And when we go to use any other type of service or product, the more and more of them that are like that, the more that's where our expectations are set. So, you know, I think for the salon, people working in the industry, having the tech that they use being of that standard,
yes,
have it, you know, changing things to the extent that it's like, man, this is awesome and easy, and I have my numbers and I know what I'm doing and I feel in control. And remember how we used to do it 2 years ago even? It wasn't that hard. It wasn't that a bit daft now that I see this. I think that's how we can really embrace technology and help with that challenge that I think the industry faces around having people being really excited working in it.
I think you're so right, actually, because again, you know, we forget about how are we as owners delivering an employee experience. What is the experience like to work here? What are the tools that I give them? Are their needs being met? Are they having a modern experience? Is it easy to work for me? Or is it actually really hard? And is it really difficult to perform well? I think that's a really good thing for us as owners to reflect on. What is our team experience like? What is their experience? Because we're not going to keep our team forever. That's inevitable, isn't it? I mean, people come, they'll do their period of time. Hopefully it's a long period of time if they're good, and they will go. And how will they remember us at that time that I had in the business? And for me, luckily, I have nothing but fond memories of working with Timely. I had an awesome employee experience. but I think we should, you know, isn't that the bar to set for our team?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've always had a slightly weird view of, staff coming in, staff going. My mindset has always been, you know, when I'm talking to somebody who's joined the team, how can we help you get your dream next job? Like, what is it? Mm-hmm. And most people try and avoid that conversation because, you know, we don't want them thinking about leaving. And, we want to try and keep hold of them for as long as we can. But actually, you get the opposite effect when you do that.
Mm.
Versus you have an open conversation with somebody about what they really want to do next. It might be completely different than the job that you hired them for. But if you don't know what that is, you don't have a chance really of holding on to them for as long as you possibly can. Because when you understand what they really want to do, you can say, cool, let's keep you on that path for as long as possible here at Timely and make sure you're achieving that. And when you do that, you will feel more motivated about, the job that you're doing here. So I think it's good to have that conversation.
And potentially lead them through multiple career steps within the same company if you actually have that insight?
Yes.
I mean, that would be the best outcome.
Yeah, it would. But yeah, like I say, I think consumer experience in general tends to, raise the bar across the board in terms of what people expect. And you and I had some internet connection challenges before we jumped on this call. And I'm old enough to remember when broadband internet first came out, and it wasn't at the office that we got it first. It was at home. We got fast internet connections at home first, and it was only because, we would then go into work, and it was terrible that, there was real pressure on workplaces to start improving the speed of the internet connections that people had in the office. So, it's really the consumer experience that we have across the board in whatever industry. So I'd encourage people, and we do this with our customers, encourage them to look not just within the industry, but, broader at, what people are really paying attention to and what they're enjoying doing, and then reflect that back on how we work in the industry.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking client experience here now, really, aren't we? How are we keeping up with the expectation of our customers in terms of serving them and providing them an easy way to engage with us in our beauty industry and for yourself? One of the things I want to bring up actually is something that's really close to my heart is the consultation process. It was something that was really big inside of my own salon business, and even had my own attempt at creating some technology around it.
Yeah.
And so I'm super excited that you are doing amazing things in the space of consultation. And so do you mind if I ask a few things around that?
Yeah, of course.
So you have this amazing app that I'm super excited about, that is open for anybody to use inside their salon to sit with the client and consult through a step-by-step process on an iPad. Tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, that's right. So, again, when we really listen to the industry, we hear some pretty big challenges coming up regularly, and one of them was around client consultations. Again, a lot of that has been driven, or at least amplified, by technology and what people have available to them today. The impact that somebody can have who's had a bad experience on your business today is much greater than it was before, Facebook and Instagram and social media was so prevalent. So making sure that the client has the experience that they expect when they come in to visit, it's something that we looked at and thought that we could really help with. And I guess when we started looking at it, being a salon software company with 10,000 customers, our first instinct was to build a feature into Timely that could do that for our customers. And then, after a while, we thought, this is a bigger problem really in the industry than that, and it deserves a better solution. And so we wanted to build something that was available to everybody and to make that free as well. So it's not just available for Timely customers. It's a completely separate app. It's called Consult. You can download it from the Apple App Store. It's for the hair industry at the moment, but we're looking at, we've had a lot of requests and demand for us to extend it into beauty and wellness and other areas as well. But right now it's available. You can jump on there. We have some really great ambassadors that we work with in the industry, and Dario in Aussie is really the person that we collaborated a lot on this through his education business. He spent many years really understanding the salon consultation process and what works and what doesn't. And obviously we're pretty good at building stuff, building tech solutions. So when the two of us got together, and we've got a lot of ideas for things that we want to do, there's heaps that we can collaborate on, but this one jumped out really quickly. So Dario helped us design that process and really brought in his experience into what it should look like. We built it really quickly because we wanted to get something out to people to use as soon as we could. We've just finished a tour across Australia and New Zealand to introduce that to salon owners, And the feedback and uptake so far has been great. People love it and love how easy it is. So, I think it's really important and a really big opportunity for salon owners, you know, moving into the next few years to really level up that part of the business.
I'm so excited about it, Ryan. We actually had Dario on the podcast several weeks ago now. And so if you haven't caught that episode, I encourage you to go and download the episode and have a listen. He was awesome. I mean, he's got so much insight and he's just got a unique way of looking at the consultation process and servicing our clients. So if you haven't had a listen, go and have a listen to that episode. But one of the reasons why I'm excited, Ryan, and this is the challenge I had in my own salon, right, is in the industry, and particularly in the hair industry, we employ a lot of young people. And for whatever reason, there often is a lot of fear and reservation around performing a particular way of doing a service, i.e. a consultation, a step-by-step consultation. And as a business owner trying to establish a brand in a way that a brand delivers its services, you know, I want a team to perform in a certain way. And that always was a challenge. There were always challenges that we would face around their own, the team members' own fears and insecurities and experience, I guess. And so I really loved, and this is why we had a go at creating just for ourselves a consultation, a computer step-by-step consultation. I say computer, it sounds so old-fashioned, but do you know there was something about educating these young people and taking them through a step-by-step process because the computer says, do you know, they're used to having an app in their hand and the computer says, ask the question, push next, all this kind of process. And it took the fear away from them and put it, the emphasis on the computer. Now, it's a little bit of an opt-out, really, you know, to get away from the responsibility. But do you know what? It works for a young team that doesn't want to comply or is challenged to learn a new process. So I just love that there is this step-by-step that's going to help owners have a consistent process that doesn't matter how experienced the staff member is, that they can follow and feel good about. So that's kind of my reason why I'm excited for salon owners to have a process like this inside of their business.
Yeah, it makes it a bit more of a science.
It does.
I think, and you know, a consultation on its own is quite open to interpretation. Yeah. There was a study that I remember being shared with me when we started working on this. I can't remember the exact details of it, but the short version was that you know, salons were surveyed, and something like 93 or 95% of stylists said that they always gave a consultation, and then their clients were surveyed as well, and only 7%, I think, or a very small number, said they received
I think it was
a
7.
Consultation. Exactly. So
it's so devastating.
there's clearly a gap there in terms of expectations. I mean, we talk a lot about client expectations and client experience. It's just such an obvious gap. And they think they're providing a consultation, but the client doesn't think that. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. So, like you say, working with Dario has been great because he's, you know, really built up an understanding of that over a long period of time, working with tons and tons of people in the industry. And it really provides them with some guardrails to work through. And when they're going through the consultation in an app, like we were saying earlier, that's free, it's easy to download, it's super easy to use, it's, you know, works on multiple devices. So, you know, it's what, I don't want to say young people, but it's what people expect, right? It's what people expect these days when they're using technology. I hesitate to say young people now because I'm not young people anymore.
Neither am I. So anyway, let's move on. So speaking of technology and those processes, one of the things I really want to talk to you about is front counter. And it's something that you brought up of something that's so important to create a seamless experience. And I'm keen to dig into this because I think, you know, when a client arrives at the counter, it's, you know, it's clearly time to pay. It can be a little bit of an awkward experience potentially. And I know that your focus is always around creating a really seamless experience at front of counter, or as the case may be, not at front counter. Can we talk about that too?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, we can see evolving quite quickly for the industry. And that's really, you know, some questions around the front counter and what the business can do at the front counter and how we can unlock them from, I think, what is a bottleneck a lot of the time. You know, so much more these days can be done even in salon, but not at the front counter. You know, so whether that's nearer to your product or even in the chair. I had a really interesting conversation with a salon owner recently, and they said, you know, they find that even between moving from the chair to the front counter, the client has gone from thinking a lot about their hair, the products they've been using, you know, what they want to do in that space, and they've started thinking, where's my car parked? And I wonder if the meter, you know, is run over, and oh, I've got to get back to work now for that meeting. And, you know, you've almost already lost them.
Agree.
You know, just in that short space of time. So, you know, being able to, it's subtle but really important, being able to, you know, run your business and conduct business in more places than just the front counter, I think is really important. We have some customers, I think Dario's space may be the case here, who have removed the front counter or don't have one at all. And it's not only a physical barrier, but sometimes it can just be that mental barrier sometimes between you and the client to really connect with them.
Yeah, no, I agree. It is a physical barrier. But if we think back to the Uber experience, you know, where you hop in the car, he already knows where you're going, and as soon as you, there's no transaction of money, it's seamless. You just hop out and carry on with your life. And I think the ability to do all of that in that chair and remove any, you know, physical and emotional barriers, I think is really good, and it's where the industry is headed for sure. So I'm pleased that you're ahead of the game and thinking about that.
Yeah, I think in the long run for companies like ours, the less we're seen and the less we're kind of felt as part of the experience, the better. You know, you want the technology to be as invisible as possible. You know, the absolute worst case scenario for us is a salon owner or a stylist sitting behind a computer and having to grumble about it not working, or sorry, just give me a second, the computer's been dumb, or oh my God, where's your appointment gone? How much impact does that have on the person's experience? It seems small, but it's not. Yeah. It's awful when you're on the other side of that sort of thing. And so, like you say, if you can picture not only the traditional front counter and checkout experience working without any problems, but if you can imagine it being almost invisible in the process, and you know, the rebooking is done either prior to the appointment or in the chair during the appointment, the payment is taken without a physical transaction having to take place, the client is thinking about the great experience that they've had with you and thinking about coming back again, rather than thinking about the number that just popped up on the FPOS terminal in front
exactly.
of them.
Exactly.
They swiped up.
Yeah, for sure. Particularly in the hair, I'm not so sure about the beauty, but capturing before and after, or particularly after photos, is a huge piece of that experience now, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. That was our slam dunk feature of 2018, really, full timely. So, you know, we always go into every year with a pretty good plan of what we want to add to improve the product. And a lot of that comes from client feedback. And our photos, before and after photos, was something that we hadn't really factored in. And we did a little bit at spur of the moment. So we heard a little bit about it. We got excited. And, my team, being the great people they are, they just said, let's do it, let's just build it, and let's get it out there. And the uptake of that has been insane. And now that we look at it, we can see why it's such a useful thing to be able to, you know, it's easy to do because you can use the native camera in an iPhone, for example, store that directly against the client record at the time, and you're building up a really important record of you know, their experience and their history with you, which is visual, which is great. So,
I mean, really, it's changed the whole experience between, you know, longevity and loyalty and consistency for that client experience, but even for the staff member, you know, being able to be consistent around what's happened in the past, what are they planning to do in the future. Yeah, I think it's changed the whole, between that and the consultation, it's changed the whole experience seamlessly in the background, you know?
Yeah. And you know, it's not rocket science. I think everybody's always understood that having a, good record like of photos, before and after photos of every client visit would be great and would be amazing. I just think it was too hard before, even a couple of years ago, just too hard. You know, you had to take the photo separately and maybe store it somewhere and then curate them and, you know, maybe upload them later and you might have to resize them because they're too big and, you know, all that sort of stuff. When you're busy, like every stylist is, it's just too much. That extra few minutes for every appointment is too much. Doesn't work. So, you know, companies like ours have to make it a 3-second, 2-step process to do, which is what we've done. So, you know, really simple to take the photos now and store them directly against the client records, which is really cool.
Well, congratulations on some awesome innovations for the industry. It's really great to see.
Thank you, Russ. That's the only frustrating thing is not being able to do more. You know, there's so many more things that we want to do, opportunity that we see to improve things. And the hardest thing is picking what to do next. But we have we doubled the size of the team last year, and we have a lot of good stuff planned for this year, so it's going to be exciting.
I know that list is exceptionally long.
Yes.
And there is a constant fight for who's, which feature is going to get to the top. So I know that is a challenge in itself, but it's a good problem to have, I guess.
It is indeed.
Now, before we lead into our wrap-up, usually I would get you to share a quote and a couple of resources, but before you do that, I wanted to share some insight from my time working with Timely and some of the amazing things that I learned, because I had a really unique experience. You know, I opened my own business at 20 after working for one person. I did an apprenticeship and I learned lots in that apprenticeship about what not to do. And I took lots of don't do that into my new business. But I, other than one experience, I'd never worked for anybody else. And because I had my own business for 20 years, by the time I came out of that and I did some contracting and did a few other bits and pieces, I really was inexperienced at being an employee. And I thought that I was a pretty good employer. I mean, I still think I was pretty good and I did lots of things right. But I had an opportunity to have some insight to what it was like to be an employee. And it changed so much for me having that experience. So first of all, thank you for that experience. And luckily for me, it was an awesome experience. But the two things that stand out for me that I wanted to share that I now teach salon owners in my coaching business, but I also use in my own business with my own growing team. And the first one is, you'll laugh, Ryan. The first one is JFDI. Mm-hmm. You knew that was coming, didn't you?
Yep.
Now, when this first popped up and I said to Ryan, I typed to you on our chat channel, I said, what the heck is JFDI? I don't know what JFDI is. And you were so polite and you said, you better go and Google it, which I did. but I really liked that. And I really liked that we had permission. So so just in case you that are listening can't Google it, is just freaking do it, or use the
Pillar version. Just even do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Why I really like that though is that in a team culture, you allowed people to just go and do the great ideas that they had and go and experiment. And it's kind of like, what is it? Permission, not forgiveness. It's just go and try something, experiment, go and do it. And if it's crap, you know, you can ask for forgiveness, but rather than ask for permission, go and give it a go. And for an employee, that's really liberating and it's really great to be able to execute your ideas or give things a go. And so I really love that. And I think the hair and beauty industry could learn from that too. We just give our team a chance to just go and do some things and give things a try, innovative things or new service ideas or new creative ideas. And as an owner, it means that we don't have to hold all the reins all of the time, and it's quite freeing. What are your thoughts around that? I mean, that was such a good learning experience for me.
Well, it makes me a little bit emotional to hear you talk about it, Riss. For a start, thank you for that. They're very, very kind words. I agree entirely with what you've said, and I think it's important to note there are a couple of things that you need to do to support that as well. So one is something that I'm sure you got sick of me talking about while you're here, which is just measuring stuff. Yeah, so measuring stuff is a really important part of that. And then the other one is, you mentioned forgiveness, not permission, which is a great mindset. I think there's a lot of talk about failure. I'm not sure how much there is in the kind of salmon industry, but certainly in the tech industry, there's a lot of talk about failure and embracing failure. And I've always been slightly uncomfortable with that word. I've always preferred to use the word learning and being in a learning mindset. They're effectively the same thing, but I think the framing is slightly more positive when you say, you know, let's embrace failure, let's be prepared to fail. I think that has a slightly different motivation than let's acknowledge we're in a learning, we're always learning, we're always in a learning mindset. So if we're going to try something, it's actually never a failure if you learn. You know, there is no failure. If you can measure it and you can say it didn't work and we have a sense of why it didn't work, it's not failure. That's learning. And so you're always winning in that mode. Eventually you have to do some stuff that works. Otherwise it would just be like a long university degree. But I think there are a couple of things that support the JFDI mindset, and that is measuring, and then also the learning mindset rather than the failure mindset.
Yeah. Well, actually, that was you've actually said it perfectly, because that was my other big BFO, big blinding flash of the obvious or big learning opportunity, was this kind of just test and try stuff and go in with it, be free to try stuff, see how it works, and then fully embrace and implement it once you've tested it. And I know for myself, and when I had my salon, we would come up with a great idea and we would go in full force, boots and all. We'd systemize it and we'd market it and we'd do all the things, which actually, I mean, it served me well because we were action takers and we did lots of things. But it wasn't until we were in boots and all, and if it didn't work, then there was a bigger impact for things that didn't work. And so I do wish that I had taken a lighter approach, and you just try, like, for example, just if you want to create a new service or a new process or something, just try it on, get one stylist to try it on a bunch of clients.
Yes.
And just do it 10 times and see if it works and get the feedback. And then if the feedback is good, then you say, right, now we're going to double down on this and we're going to do this and we're going to go in boots and all. And I didn't do that. And I certainly learnt that from you. And I now do that in my current business. And I also encourage my salon owners that I coach to do that. So like, just give it a try, small scale, tiny bit, test it out, measure. I'm still a creative entrepreneur. I'm not good at the data. Funnily enough, I'm a data-driven person, but I hate doing keeping up and on the data. Sorry about that, Ryan. I didn't learn that one. But I'm probably a little bit more gut instinct, but I'm still learning.
Yeah.
Learning that part.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that can apply for things that you want to try in your service for clients, but it can also apply for things that you want to do in the business with your team and with your staff. So you can take the similar kind of approach rather than, hey, everyone, we're changing the way we're doing this. The change is happening on Monday. It's going to be this version 10 thing straight away. Yeah. And you can use it for internal things as well. And it really comes down to setting expectations. If we have any timely customers listening today, then most of them will have noticed that we've brought out a lot of features over the last year or so. And many of them in the early state are pretty light. You know, they probably don't have everything that you would expect in, you know, a gift voucher system or a loyalty system or, you know, photo storage. And that's because it's better for us and it's better for our customers in the long run that we release the part that we believe in first, we get people using it, and then we get their feedback. And it's better to do that on a fast loop and a fast cycle than it is for us to go into a dark room for 3 or 4 months, build a big massive thing and then put it out and find that it doesn't actually land in terms of what people expect. So it does come down a little bit to managing expectations as well. You know, we have to be careful with that when we announce new features and, you know, we talk to our customers about things we're bringing out and be really clear that this version will include these things. And coming up, we're thinking about adding these other things, but that will depend on you as well. That will depend on you and what you think and the feedback we get from you. It becomes more of a, I guess, a bit of a collaboration with us and our customers in terms of how we JFDI.
Well, look, thank you so much for those big life lessons. I have certainly learned from it, as well as all the people now that I come into contact with. So thank you for having me, Ryan.
Hey, yeah, you're welcome. It's been good to chat and feel like we haven't caught up in a while. So it's been lovely to catch up with you and have a chat.
It absolutely has. All right, before we run away, do you have a quote that you can share with us that you live by or guided by outside of JFDI maybe or a mantra?
Yeah, I won't use JFDI because I actually borrowed that from one of our other tech company friends in the industry. So probably do something a bit more unique. And really that's my, you know, I like all the quotes that are about being weird and being yourself and doing your own thing. You probably hopefully noticed that while you worked with us, is that we didn't fall into the trap of doing things just because that's the way other companies have always done them. We just did our own thing. And then
Emerson did a similar quote, very similar quote, which is that being yourself in a world that's constantly trying to make you into something else is actually the greatest achievement. And I believe in that wholeheartedly. You know, I think a lot of times as people, and especially as business owners, we try and look for formulas and playbooks and other people's experience to guide what we do. And I think the thing that we have the best chance at succeeding at is always within ourselves. Somewhere within you, you know what it is. Other people might think it's weird, but JFDI, it's your thing. Roll with it.
Absolutely. Nice. I like it. All right. What about, what can you recommend that you've read or learned recently, a book or a podcast or some resource that you believe salon owners would benefit from reading?
Yeah, I guess that's slightly counterintuitive to the answer I just gave. around the quote about, you know, not paying attention, too much attention to other people's advice. I think if people are here on the Salon Owners Collective podcast, that's a good start. It's a really good start. And I'm going to do a bit of a shameless plug as well. On our website, which is gettimely.com, we have a ton of really interesting resources in there. When we started the business, we always knew that our role was going to be more than just providing a software system. It was about, you know, providing really useful information. We have the opportunity, because we work with 10,000 customers, to have a really interesting view across the industry. So it's expected of us, I think, in many ways that we, you know, we share that and we share what we get to see and what we get to learn with our customers and with the industry. So everything that we have on our site is free. There's no cost to accessing any of it. And it's a combination of, you know, we do webinars and recorded webinars and written content and video interviews and a bunch of other things on there. So I'd recommend getting in there. But in terms of a book, like, you know, like I said before, I think in many ways, don't read too many of other people's books and write your own book. Like, you know, there's something weird about you. And I think it's why I love working in the salon and the beauty industry, is there's so many unique, creative, interesting people that have that mindset. They're like, I want to do something and I'm going to do it my way. And I think that's great. So, you know, I think people should write a 2-page book of their own that paints a future version of themselves and their business, and just read that every now and then and just stick with it. You're going to constantly be getting pulled in different directions and hearing advice that tells you that you should do something else, and seeing things that make you doubt yourself and ignore as much of it as you can, because you've written your book and you know what your plan is, and just do your thing.
I love that answer. Cool. Very wise words. Very wise words. All right. For those that don't know, will you share with us your social and your dub-dub? So people can, and also I'll put a link to those resources on your website, actually on the show notes.
Cool. So our website is www.gettimely.com. From there, there are links off to all of our other social channels. Our Instagram is blowing up right now. So our Instagram is just at Timely, which is easy to find. So jump in there and have a look at that. And we'd love for folks to connect with us and subscribe to our newsletter and contact us. There's easy ways to contact us on there if you want to share any feedback or ask any questions.
Awesome. Well, look, I really appreciate the time that you've given us, Ryan. It's been a great chat and super pleased you're doing amazing things for the industry. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much, Ryan, for sharing your wisdom. And thanks to you for tuning in today. Obviously, I've got a soft spot for this company, but I'm truly excited by the work they're doing and the tools and resources they continue to create, because it is companies like this that bring our salon industry to the forefront. We need to be able to create high-touch, customized, and personal experiences. And I love that we can harness the simplicity of forward-thinking technology for both clients and team alike. There were certainly some big blow-your-mind ideas in that chat. I'm making sure all of those links are in our show notes. For more guidance on the team front, be sure to download my How to Attract a Rockstar Team guide. Links also in the show notes of this episode. I'll catch you next time on the Salon Owners Collective Podcast.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective Podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.